It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, he's in London. He reports on the United Kingdom and the European Union. And he turns now to a story that I have from an editorial in his newspaper, the Wall Street Journal. Joe writes political economics. And that looks like it informs this editorial about an unhappiness in France, led by President Emmanuel Macron, about the green agenda. It's a puzzle to sort this out because green dominates every COP26, COP27 conversation about the future. Climate change is a very big story in Europe, has been longer than it has been in the U.S. But right now, Mr. Macron is saying that regulation has gone too far. The European People's Party, the main EU-level center-right group that includes parties such as Germany's Christian Democrats, has come out against these two components of the EU's Green Deal boondoggle on grounds that it would hurt farmers. This is about pesticides and restoring forests and wetlands. So what we have here is maybe it's not much, maybe it's just an edge of the story. But farmers are pushing back, and they're finding political resonance in the palace in Paris and in voices of other editorial pages. Joe, green is Europe. What's happening? Why the sudden hesitation? If it was a question of enough energy into the future or making the constituency happy, green was never going to be the answer. But it was embraced, and now what's happened?
Well, I think several things are going on here that are changing the political debate about environmental and climate issues in Europe in a bunch of interesting ways. I mean, we should say at the outset that it is not like they are completely backtracking from their net zero emissions goals or tearing down all of the windmills and solar panels they put down or anything like that. I mean, environmentalism, net zero remains politically very popular, including with a lot of voters still. And I think that a lot of politicians across the continent have invested huge amounts of taxpayer money and political capital in this agenda. So I think that the key parts of it aren't going anywhere. But within that, we do have this environment now where we are more than a year into an energy price crisis that was hastened along by the war in Ukraine, but not ultimately caused by it. The ultimate cause has been the legacy of a couple decades of green policies in Europe, which have made the electric grids less reliable because they have all of these heavily subsidized, very expensive wind and solar installations now that are not as reliable as the old forms of power. And they're also realizing that the further down this green net zero carbon road that they travel, the more endangered their industry becomes. And I think that's what was really going on, especially with French President Emmanuel Macron last week when he gave that speech where he basically said we need a timeout on new environmental regulations in Europe. He was speaking to a room full of industrial executives, and his topic was how can we revive industry and manufacturing in France? And I think that the speech was a recognition that at this point, adding on any more environmental regulations than those that they already have are going to make it even harder for Europe to sustain an economy. And that's an admission that really the green jobs, the green manufacturing that everyone was promised would come as part of this environmental transition have not materialized, don't appear to be on the horizon. And this is creating a growing political problem for a lot of leaders that they increasingly think that they need to deal with somehow.
But the farmers, Joe, for the farmers to turn against the Green Initiative means that this story can only grow when it comes to election time. I understand they have profoundly different politics than we do here. There are many different parties, but let's choose France, Emmanuel Macron. He's, I believe, stepping away from the palace at the end of his term. At the same time, Marie Le Pen is ready to step into the palace at any day, and she advances with the farmers behind her. She advances with blue collar. So is Europe now finding a right of center voice that says green has gone too far and that's pushing back everywhere?
Well, it is interesting that a lot of this pushback seems to be happening across a lot of different parts of the economy and different parts of society. So you see this in different places. I mean, France is a good example of this because remember, already way back in 2018, Emmanuel Macron was running into problems with those yellow vest or gilets jaunes protests of motorists who were very unhappy about a big increase in the tax on diesel fuel that he had introduced as part of his environmental agenda. And that very nearly derailed Macron's presidency only a year or two into it. So you sort of had that movement, which was, rural motorists particularly. He clearly is concerned about industry, blue-collar manufacturing workers. You also have this growing opposition to some of these policies from farmers. You mentioned this in your introduction. There's a controversy developing at the EU level about rules that Brussels wants to impose that would limit certain pesticides and impose very expensive regulations for restoring habitat, wetlands and forests. Farmers are opposed to that. I mean, and then, here in the UK, technically not in the European Union, but still in the same broad ecosystem politically, you have growing opposition to onshore wind farms because people don't want all of this new wind capacity making noise in their area and sort of spoiling their views of the countryside. So what's interesting is all of these different constituencies and sort of industry and socioeconomic groups suddenly each find themselves with their own questions or challenges to these policies. And it becomes this question of at what point does that reach a critical mass that starts really putting a lot of pressure on politicians in a lot of places.
ESG, let's come home to America. ESG investing, again, an editorial in your newspaper, The Wall Street Journal, which is my source of information about ESG. ESG includes asking Costco, the well-known and very popular wholesaler, Costco, to set climate targets for Scope 3 emissions. What is that? That is everything you can think of that could change the future of climate change, including land use change, deforestation. For Costco, Costco has to do a study, I guess, of the items it sells on the basis of deforestation. Joe, ESG is not about making money. That is why you invest in Wall Street. Is it your measure that ESG is one of those fads that came and went during the pandemic and that right now we're watching the ending days?
Well, it's definitely a fad that has been coming for a while, even predating the pandemic. And I think that what's happening now is that people are suddenly waking up to the consequences of it. And there's a real question about what the next step forward is going to be. Because people are realizing a couple things. First off, that it doesn't make any economic sense. So I think ESG investing refers to this concept that asset managers like pension funds or other big investors shouldn't just focus on the bottom line and what will maximize financial returns, but also should use their ownership of companies' shares to impose discipline on those companies to care more about environmental issues or social issues or governance issues. And you gave a couple examples of what form that can take. I think that one of the things that is happening is that this has become much more common than people realized. Until recently, it was possible to think that this was just a fad, that if you were buying a mutual fund that billed itself as ESG, you could lose your money that way. If you didn't want to do it, you would just buy a regular mutual fund. Well, one of the things our editorial in the journal points out that actually even some of the quote unquote regular funds are engaged in this kind of investing. So that means that consumers are discovering that they're going to have to be much more careful about where they put their money to make sure that they're investing with asset managers who care about giving them a financial return. But this is also raising all kinds of complicated corporate governance problems, because often what is happening is that interest groups on the left are trying to use this shareholder governance model to achieve through proxy votes in companies' annual meetings what they can't get through Congress or state legislatures. So it's an alternative form of regulating, and I think that people need to be aware of that as well.
Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics, and we're going back to London now. We started on the continent. We came to America, but the tax man has arrived at Whitehall. What does that mean for the recovery from the pandemic and also for Brexit, for post-European Union days? Taxes are going up in Britain.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This heat is doing the most, and your patience isn't. It's time to find something that actually cools you off. Get your afternoon pick-me-up with a refreshing large Big Gulp drink at 7-Eleven. Cold, refreshing, and made the way you like it. It's available at 7-Eleven and just 59 cents with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores see app for full terms.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.